Good afternoon. My name is Steve Luckaball, and I'd like to welcome you to the Sustainability Assessment and Planning Part 1, Understanding the Program Sustainability Assessment Tool. This webinar is brought to you by the Partnerships for Care HIV Training, Technical Assistance, and Collaboration Center, HIV-TAC. The Partnerships for Care project is a three-year multi-agency project funded by the Secretary's Minority AIDS Initiative Fund and the Affordable Care Act. The goals of the project are to expand provision of HIV testing, prevention, care, and treatment in health centers serving communities highly impacted by HIV, to build sustainable partnerships between health centers and their state health department, and to improve health outcomes among people living with HIV, especially among racial and ethnic minorities. The project is supported by the HIV Training, Technical Assistance, and Collaboration Center, HIV-TAC. We have two speakers today. Kim Pruitt is the project coordinator for the Program Sustainability Project at the Center for Public Health Systems Science at Washington University in St. Louis. The Sustainability Project's research focuses on collecting and analyzing data on sustainability outcomes to better understand predictors of and barriers to program sustainability across a variety of program types, assisting program sustainability plan development, and assessing sustainability progress over time. Ms. Pruitt's responsibilities include administering the program's sustainability assessment tool, facilitating workshops and webinars on sustainability assessment and planning, collecting and analyzing data related to sustainability planning and assessment, and providing technical assistance and training for the sustaintool.org website. Our first speaker today is Sarah Dexter. Sarah is the Senior Research Assistant for the Sustainability Project in the Center for Public Health Systems Science at Washington University. Her contributions include the technical assistance and maintenance of the program sustainability assessment tool, facilitating workshops and webinars on program sustainability assessment, and planning and project communications. Please join me in welcoming Sarah Dexter.
Great. Thank you for that wonderful introduction. I'm really excited to be here. Again, my name is Sarah, and I work at the Center for Public Health Systems Science at Washington University in St. Louis. Thank you all for taking the time to listen to this webinar today. You're invited because you have each been identified as an important player for your program's efforts, and your involvement will be vital throughout the entire process as you work towards and implement your sustainability plan. As the slide shows, this is the first webinar. This is the introductory webinar to our sustainability process, and the next four webinars will take a deeper dive into each domain of our sustainability framework, which we'll talk more about later. So our sustainability process we are walking through today involves three steps. The first is building your understanding of the factors beyond funding that impact sustainability. The second step is to assess your program's sustainability capacity using the program sustainability assessment tool. And in the final step, you will create a sustainability action plan based on the results of your sustainability assessment. So today's webinar will cover three topics. There's like three goals. First, I will provide an overview of the eight components of our sustainability framework. Next, I will go over how to complete the program sustainability assessment tool. And then we will share next steps in preparing for sustainability action planning and things to think about before the next webinars. I want to start out by defining a few terms that come up pretty frequently. The first is how we define the term program for sustainability purposes. For the purpose of this work, it is up to you all at your program and your partners to define what it is you're trying to sustain. For some, the term program will refer to a specific set of activities that are already formalized into a program within your organization. For others, it may refer to a couple of initiatives within the program, but not the program as a whole. Another way this could be defined is possibly a combination of activities from a variety of existing programs. Really, the important thing to remember is that when we use the term program, we're using it generically to refer to whatever set of activities you decide to try to sustain. So for you all, it will be important to think about how you are defining your HIV services and programs and what it is you're wanting to sustain. So what exactly do we mean by program sustainability? Well, through our research, we came to define program sustainability as the ability to maintain programming and its benefits over time. What we will be focusing on is improving capacity for sustainability, which is the process of strengthening the structures and processes that exist within the program to ensure the program can strategically leverage its resources to weather changes in funding, leadership, environmental climate, and so on. The definition is intentionally broad because sustainability looks different for each program based on the program's needs, goals, funding situation, and environmental support. But the general idea is that you have an aware and flexible program that you are actively adapting to respond to environmental changes as needed. So after you've defined the set of activities you're going to assess, known from here on out as your program, we want you to go ahead and take a minute to consider the overall sustainability rating of that program by giving your program a score. 1 being not sustainable at all, and 5 being very sustainable. I'm going to give you a minute to think about that and to participate in this poll question.
Okay, our first poll is open. How would you rate the overall sustainability of your program? 1 to 5, please take a moment to answer this and we will share the results.
Great. Well, thank you for participating. I see that we have a lot of different answers. Happy to see that none of them are 1. So it's exciting. So I'm wondering how many of you would say that this pretty simple scale is an effective measure of your program's actual sustainability? It can be somewhat meaningless. I mean, you might be thinking that you don't have guaranteed funding. So from that perspective, maybe you gave yourself a 1 or 2, but you may have really strong partnerships or leadership support. So perhaps that merits a 4 or 5. In reality, both of those perspectives are correct. Both impact sustainability. So what we've learned is that sustainability is really a multifaceted, complex concept. And to really understand your program's sustainability capacity, you need to consider multiple perspectives when assessing and improving sustainability. So really, all of your answers are really correct in some ways, but it may not be as a holistic picture as you would like. So before we get into the nuts and bolts of sustainability assessment and planning, I want to give you a brief background on how we came to view sustainability the way that we do. So our work came through an existing partnership with CDC. Between 2005 and 2008, there were massive funding cuts for state tobacco control programs. States had to figure out how to sustain their public health programs with much less funding than they had before. So what CDC came to notice is that some programs sustained with even less funds, while others really struggled. This didn't seem to be related to funding level. Some of the least funded programs were able to survive and even thrive, really. So CDC wanted to better understand the factors that contributed to some of the more sustainable programs. So they commissioned our research center to investigate that. So my guess is that some of you thought immediately about funding when I asked you to rate the sustainability of your program in that poll question. So during our research, we learned that while funding is important, only a small part of a much bigger picture. Looking across programs, you often see that even with the same level of funding, some programs are able to sustain themselves and some aren't. This is often because the programs and projects that are able to sustain have more than just funding. They have strengths in other domains, which we'll talk about as well. Our sustainability planning process is designed to help you move beyond focusing solely on funding by systematically exploring all of the elements that contribute to sustainability, and then strategically planning to build in those areas that will give you the most benefit over time. Ultimately, our research, which included an extensive literature review process, concept mapping, expert input, study testing, led to an 8-domain framework, and an assessment was then built off of that framework that you see on the screen. This framework was then translated into a 40-question assessment tool. Later, we will discuss how to take the assessment and then what you'll do with your results. Our framework and tool have been completed over 3,500 times with nearly 1,700 programs since the website launched in 2013. Although it was developed for state public health programs, we find that many clinical care, social service, and education programs also use it and find it really helpful. Our website and assessment have been used nationally and internationally, places such as Canada, Australia, UK, India, South Africa, Spain, and so on. And they've been used by a variety type of programs, again, public health, social service, clinical care, and academic research programs, hybrids of public health, social services, and so on. The majority of users are community programs, that's about 70%, but also 15% are state-level programs, additionally with tribal-level, national, and international. So all of that to say is diverse group of participants and users utilize our assessment and website, and we found it to be helpful to a lot of different folks in various areas. Additionally, people have used our assessment and adapted it with specific wording to fit their particular needs and languages in their program. So now that you know a bit about our history and examples of some of the groups that we've worked with, as well as how we came to understand program sustainability the way that we do, now I'm going to talk a bit about our program sustainability framework, which I'll be referring to throughout the webinar. So domains in the framework, or elements, that impact program sustainability capacity are environmental support, funding stability, partnerships, organizational capacity, program evaluation, program adaptation, communications, and strategic planning. We have a whole website devoted to these concepts, sustaintool.org. I'm going to walk through each domain, and as I do, I want you to think about how they relate to your program and ask yourself two questions in particular. How important is each domain to your program? And what power does your program have to modify or improve your capacity in that domain? So again, how important is that domain? And what power does your program have to modify or improve in that domain? These are reoccurring questions that we will encourage you to visit throughout the entire planning process. So the first domain is environmental support, which is the notion that you need to have a supportive internal and external climate for your program. Basically, do people care and support your work? Are state policies in line with your efforts? If not, what can you do to gain that support? Do you have champions for your work internally and at all levels externally, locally, federally, maybe even internationally? So for internal environmental support, this includes higher up leadership and staff. Are they aware of what your program is trying to do? And do they make sure that your program is on the agenda at meetings? Are they allocating resources to your program? Externally, this domain focuses on the support of your community. Do you have champions for your work at all levels, community, state, nationally, and even internationally? And do people support your efforts? Funding stability. Funding is, of course, the biggest challenge for most initiatives. We rely on that funding for essentially everything, to provide the necessary staff, infrastructure, time, resources. But what happens when funding ends or changes? So as much as it is in your control, we encourage diversification of funding. For example, are there other grants you can apply for? Can you get an extension on your current grant? Maybe there's other federal agencies willing to contribute. Are there partners who may have or know of funding opportunities? Any staff, resources, space that you can share with partners to encourage cost sharing? Really exploring the whole spectrum. Often the programs that we work with want or even really need to focus on funding stability, but they recognize that just going out and seeking funds really isn't going to get them too far. So instead, we encourage you to think about what steps you can take in other domains to maximize the likelihood of obtaining funding down the road. So maybe that's building up your evaluations or your partnerships. Next in the framework, we come to partnerships. Partnerships obviously play a key role in growing the overall reach and impact of a program. Partners can range from very informal, touch-based as needed relationships to formal contractual collaborations. We recommend taking advantage of local complementary programs in your program area. Learning from each other and working together can generate new ideas and opportunities to share resources and reduce costs at times. Additionally, having strategic partnerships can open doors for others to take over aspects of your program that it no longer makes sense for you to sustain yourself. Ultimately, when a program is threatened, having partnership support can provide solutions that wouldn't have been generated by the program itself. Of course, it takes a lot of work to cultivate and maintain quality partnerships, as I'm sure you well know, but the benefits of quality partnerships will most likely outweigh the time and effort required to establish them. You will also want to review your program mission and vision and determine who to bring to the table to help you accomplish those goals. Organizational capacity, our next domain, refers to having the internal resources to effectively manage your program to reach its goals. You may have many initiatives going on at once, so you have to consider whether you have the resources to carry them all out, and if you will continue to have those resources to carry them out once funding ends. If not, what changes will you make to ensure you can continue your work? Is leadership supportive? Do you have enough staff to carry out program goals? Do you have your communication system in place that allows the entire organization to know of your successes and challenges? Working in this domain could look like reviewing your current resources and staff's expertise, redefining roles within your efforts, developing shared expenses or shared resources with other efforts. Maybe it's realizing you don't have a certain team and want to work towards beefing up those efforts. Our fifth domain is program evaluation, which is the process of systematically and objectively assessing your program's strengths and weaknesses to inform program planning. As you know, evaluation provides you with the hard data to talk about the successes of your program and really show that your program is having an impact. It's about making sure you're evaluating short and long-term successes, really capturing the impact of your work that you're doing in an intentional way. Conducting program evaluation is also important to be able to share with your community and partners to get people interested and invested in your program. They need to be able to believe that you're actually making a difference in the community. The counterpart to evaluation is program adaptation, which involves taking action to continually improve your program activities and to ensure their ongoing relevance and effectiveness. Here, there are really two components that we focus on: quality improvement and adapting to external forces. For quality improvement, are you responding to evaluation results and making changes as needed? As for external forces, are you adapting to environmental changes such as political leadership, partnership turnover, funding changes, and are you up to date on new science, evidence-based interventions, and best practices? Here, we really emphasize having flexible and evolving programs, projects, and policies. We never advocate for sustaining everything as is, exactly as it is now, but adapting to the needs of your program and challenges that come this way. Next in the framework is communications. So do people know what you do? Do they care what you do? And would they care if your program went away? For this domain, it's important to think about communications both internally and externally. Internal communications can be essential for securing resources, staff, and time within the organization. Leadership needs to know what your program is up to, how it is impacting the community, and how it is reaching the organization's goals. As for external communications, sharing information with stakeholders, partners, and the public can go a long way towards securing funding, partnerships, and overall support. Finally, our last sustainability domain is strategic planning, which involves using structured processes to guide your program's direction, goals, and strategies. As you know, without a strategic direction towards long-term goals, programs sometimes find themselves only reacting to day-to-day demands, environmental pressures, and funding opportunities, rather than moving forward strategically towards a well-detailed objective. You all probably have a strategic plan, but what needs to be done to make sure the efforts in each of your goal areas are sustained long-term? Often programs have what we call a strategic implementation plan, so they just need to update it a bit to incorporate sustainability. So that completes the program sustainability framework. I'm sure it doesn't surprise you to hear that all of these domains are extremely interconnected. Working in one area may have a spillover effect into the other domains, like this graphic shows here. For example, working on communications may improve environmental support because people are learning about all the awesome things that you're doing and want to support your efforts, which could impact funding. working on your evaluation can improve partnerships because you have evidence of success, which can in turn bring new funding opportunities. Partners might have funding or be able to help you access new funding. Improvement in organizational capacity might have spillover effects on other domains like communications and program evaluation. You may now have the staff and resources to dedicate to these processes, which in turn could lead to improved partnerships and environmental support because more people are learning about your successes. So really, I could go on and on with all of these connections, but ultimately, it will be up to you to determine which domains you might want to focus your efforts on to get the most impact for your program. Each program is slightly different in their needs and capacity for bringing about change. You have to think about what makes sense for you and where you're at. When choosing an area you want to focus on in your action plan, which we'll talk more about later, it is sometimes helpful to think about which domains you have the most control over improving. For a lot of groups, the most modifiable domains are the internal domains, shown here in this box. Those domains are strategic planning, communications, program evaluation, program adaptation, organizational capacity, and partnerships. Environmental support and funding stability, though very important, are often more difficult for a program or coalition to impact, especially when they're first beginning to work on improving sustainability capacity. In addition, we like to think of VA domains like this. Imagine that this glass is your program and the water is your overall sustainability capacity in various domains. If you only have a small amount of water in there, like the glass on the left, your program is less stable and more likely to be influenced by external forces like funding cuts, changes to the environment, so on. On the other hand, if you have more liquid in there, you've been addressing more sustainability domains and have more sustainability capacity, your glass is like the one on the right. Your program overall is more stable and it isn't going to be knocked to the floor by a simple bump of the table. For more information on the 8 domains and how they interact to build sustainability capacity, you can visit our website at sustaintool.org and click on the Understand tab. So that sums up our program sustainability framework. As I mentioned earlier, there was an assessment built off of that framework, which is called the Program Sustainability Assessment Tool. It's quick and simple, contains 5 items per domain, so it's 40 questions total, and it can be completed in about 10 to 15 minutes. Each item is scored on a 1-7 scale, where 1 indicates not at all, and 7 indicates quite a bit. There's also an option for not able to answer. The assessment is available online on our website, sustaintool.org. Program individuals can take individual assessments, or someone within a program can set up a group assessment for up to 12 people to obtain multiple perspectives about that program. We really encourage group assessments whenever possible. It is ideal to have people from multiple levels within the organization or program, and even some external stakeholders to complete the assessment. Getting multiple perspectives will ultimately provide the program with a more clear picture of its sustainability capacity. And it leads to a great conversation among stakeholders, since having scores to discuss make those difficult strategy conversations a little bit easier when you can say, well, I scored X in partnerships versus I feel we should focus on partnerships. If you choose to take a group assessment, which we really encourage, you will then be provided with a group report later, which has all the responses from your group aggregated together. It is designed to get you thinking about the areas you could improve upon and serve as a launching point for sustainability planning. So when you're taking the assessment, there are really 2 terms to keep in mind. When you see the word program, which is basically in every question, remember that program and the assessment is referring to the specific set of activities you have defined to be your program of the group. This could be one specific program within your organization, it could be a set of programs, or it could be an organization as a whole. If you are unclear about this before you start the assessment, be sure to check with the rest of your group to make sure you are all on the same page. And similarly, when you see the word staff in the assessment, it is referring to the specific staff and volunteers that work on the set of activities you've been invited to assess. Again, if it's not clear, just have a conversation with your group to make sure you are all on the same page before you start the assessment. So one quick note on who to invite to take the assessment. After you've defined what you mean by the program, you'll want to think about who you want to invite if you're taking a group assessment. We have the option to invite multiple staff and stakeholders built into the online assessment, and we recommend that you use this option. Having multiple staff provide their perspective helps you get a broad picture of your program's sustainability capacity. In our experience, each person's perspective is unique and can add valuable insight into the assessment and planning process. If you don't have a set list of folks, or we don't have a set list of folks that you should choose, but generally, we recommend that you choose people who are knowledgeable about the program and invested in its mission and seeing the program last. We recommend considering frontline staff, volunteers, program managers, organizational leadership, and budget officers, all of whom bring different but valuable perspectives. If community support or partners are essential for the services you provide, consider involving representatives from the community and partner groups too. The key here is to make sure the folks you invite believe in the mission of the program and are invested in seeing the program last. One more thing to note, in the upcoming webinars, we will talk more about how you translate your assessment results into a sustainability plan. Part of that process involves building a sustainability planning team who will be responsible for completing your sustainability plan and carrying out the activities outlined in the plan. So you will want everyone you plan to involve on your sustainability planning team to complete the assessment, but not everyone who completes the assessment necessarily needs to be on the planning team. Some groups opt to invite additional folks to complete the assessment who are not included on the planning team. If you do this, it's just important to have a follow-up conversation with people who took the assessment who are not involved in the planning team to make sure you can put their scores into context. So for example, you can invite 12 people to take the assessment, but maybe only 7 people are actually on the action planning sustainability team. So now that you've defined what you are assessing, who you are inviting to take the assessment, we can go ahead and head over to our website at sustaintool.org. There you will select Get Started on the homepage, which will then take you to this page, which is the assessment page. Like we mentioned earlier, you can choose either an individual or group assessment. Once you choose that assessment, you will complete a few demographic questions and get your account set up. Please note, if you don't already have an account with us on our website, you'll be asked to log in and create a username and password, and it's super quick. If you're doing a group assessment, which again we encourage, then you will be prompted to enter the email addresses of the participants who you wish to take the assessment. You can also customize the email invitation with specific program information or assessment due dates. Once you send off the invitation, you'll be able to actually take the assessment. I'll take you to a screen like this, which will give you some background information on sustainability. Here it defines the purpose of the assessment, provides a few definitions, and gives guidance on how to complete the assessment. This can be really helpful for folks you invite to take the assessment who maybe don't have a ton of information on sustainability beforehand. Once you're ready to begin the assessment, you simply click Next in the bottom right-hand corner. You will then choose the number that best aligns with each statement about your program. There are 40 statements altogether, which will take you through the 8 sustainability domains. Please note that if you don't know an answer, you can click NA, which stands for Not Able to Assess. We do ask that you try to answer as best as you can, but there may be aspects of the 8 domains that not all of you are familiar with, and that's completely okay. If you get part of the way through and wish to save and complete later, complete the assessment at a later date, simply click Save and Continue Later, and your completed answers will be recorded, and you can pick up where you left off. When you're finished, you simply click Submit, and it will take you to this page. You will immediately be presented with your sustainability profile, which is a summary of your results. The report will give you an average sustainability score, and it will also break your answers down by domain and item, so you can see where your program strengths and opportunities for improvement lie. You can download and save a PDF of the results by clicking the green Download PDF button at the top of the screen. We really recommend that you do this so you can have a copy of your sustainability results to review later. You will also receive an email with the PDF of your results attached and a link to your sustainability results in blue. You may need to check your spam folder for the email in case you don't see it in your inbox. If you don't have the email or didn't download your PDF, we can still get you your results. Just contact us and we'll help you out. If you administered a group assessment, then the admin will receive an email of the group assessment as well. Here is what the PDF of your sustainability report will look like. It breaks the results down again by domain and item. If you've decided to take a group assessment, you'll also receive the group report once everyone has completed the assessment and you decide to close the group. Having those two reports can be really interesting to compare your individual responses with the group averages. After you complete the assessment, it can be really helpful to spend some time thinking about your results. Did your results surprise you at all? Off the top of your head, are there any of the eight domains that are new to you or underemphasized within your program? Most importantly, what do your results tell you about how your program could or should move forward towards sustainability? And how can you leverage your strengths to address any deficits that you found across the eight domains? Additionally, it's important to remember that this is by no means a test. The numbers are just a way for you to conceptualize your program across these domains relative to each other and start thinking about how you might use your strengths to build on your weaknesses. Your individual answers are anonymous, so the more honest you can be, the more helpful the report will be in moving forward with your program sustainability planning. Additionally, low scores don't necessarily indicate your efforts are unsustainable. It just gives you an idea of where you might want to focus your energies in the next few years. Again, there are no right or wrong answers here. You can ultimately use your results to create a sustainability action plan. We use a template that looks like this, where the end goal is to identify the domains you would like to work in, also with detailed objectives for each domain and the steps you feel will help you reach each objective. For each step, the document should have a lead person identified, success identified, resources needed, and a due date. We will spend the next webinars talking more in depth about the eight domains and examples of action plans in each domain. But before you can write a plan, there are a few steps you need to go through. This slide shows our sustainability planning process. The first four steps are what we call the pre-planning steps. And these are things you need to do before you actually sit down and create your plan. The first step is to identify your sustainability planning team. Next, you will define a handful of concepts as they relate to your program, target population, mission. You'll then review and discuss your sustainability results and then determine what from your program can and should be sustained. After you've completed those pre-planning steps, you'll strategically prioritize a few areas, and you'll select a domain that you want to focus on in your plan. Once you've established that domain, you'll develop your plan's specific objectives, identify the steps needed to reach each objective, and then break the steps down even further into who's responsible for that step, what does success look like, what resources will be needed to accomplish that step, and then establish a timeline for each step. After you've made all those decisions and written it all out, you'll ultimately implement the plan and reassess. In the upcoming webinars, we will go into greater detail on how to interpret your PSAT results and how to develop an action plan using them. If you're curious about the action planning process and want to learn more before our next webinar, you can find a wealth of information, action planning ideas, and specific resources for planning under each domain on our sustainability planning website, sustaintool.org, under the plan tab. So I want to thank you all again for having me, and we'll turn it over to our moderator now for any questions.
All right, we have a few minutes here to take some questions. If you have some questions, please enter them into the questions pane on the GoToWebinar toolbar. I have one here. How adaptable is this sustainability framework to individual projects versus an entire program, which encompasses multiple projects?
Yeah, that's a great question. So we briefly mentioned it in the webinar, but it can certainly be used for individual projects as well as entire programs. Sometimes it makes sense for groups to just look at their smaller projects, depending on just what makes sense for them. Other times it makes sense if you look at the larger organization or multiple projects put together. The important thing here is just to have that program, in quotes, clearly defined. So you can use it for smaller groups or for larger groups, but it's really you just want to have that clearly defined so everyone understands what it is you're assessing and what you're working to sustain.
Okay, thank you. And are these resources free?
Yes. So our website, which we talked about a lot, that is available to everyone, and the program sustainability assessment tool is completely free. You can take it as many times as you want for various projects or programs for up to 12 people within that group assessment.
Okay, and can we focus on just one domain?
Yeah, of course. Sometimes folks they get excited and they want to focus on lots of domains at once. And while our ultimate goal is for programs to look at all of the domains, we do recommend that they focus on one kind of right away and evaluating which domain they have the most influence over or which domain they can bring about the most change within. So yes, you can certainly focus on one domain. And then hopefully from that, once you've kind of worked in that domain, you can start working in other domains as well as it makes sense for your program.
Okay, thank you. How do we deal with the differences of opinion about the domain we should pursue between our leadership and our partners?
That's also a great question. So I think it's important to have a conversation about that. I don't know if there's necessarily a wrong way to go about it, but you do want everyone's voice to be heard because there's reasons behind that. There's reasons that people want to work in a certain domain or feel like you should work in a certain domain. And that's why we like the group assessment, because you get multiple perspectives. And so it's really, again, looking at your group and seeing what makes the most sense for your group, which domain that you maybe need to work in at that time.
Okay, and how far in advance should we plan sustainability action steps? 6 months, 12 months, longer?
So, it's really whatever makes sense for your program. I feel like we use that answer a lot. Typically, most plans are 12 months or a year, typically when people reassess their programs. But it's whatever makes sense for you. Oftentimes, folks will have a strategic plan that they review once a year or some other sort of work plan. So if you can line that up with your sustainability assessment, then that seems to work out really nicely as well.
Okay, that's all the questions I have right now. If anyone has any further questions, please enter them now. Okay, it doesn't look like we have any further questions. Do you have any closing thoughts before we wrap it up here?
I think that's it for us, but we just want to say thank you again for attending this webinar. If you have any questions regarding the assessment or anything we talked about today, please feel free to reach out to myself, Sarah Dexter, or Kim Pruitt, and we'd be happy to answer any questions.
Okay, thank you for participating in today's webinar, and we hope that you're able to find the information provided useful as you continue your P4C project. Take care, everybody, and we'll see you next time.